All right, guys, what's up? My name is Charlie Summers. I know you guys have probably never met me before. It's my first time here at Wake. But before we get started, I just want to open up some prayer, so bow with me. Heavenly Father, I just pray for this morning and this time as we get to open your word and just get to look at your story and a part of your story where you have just create us to be redeemed by your son, Jesus. So God, I just pray that you'll be here, present with us this morning, that you would show up and reveal yourself to us in a way that we would see you. So God, thank you so much for this opportunity and for this time with these students. We all love you, and amen. All right, guys. So since you guys probably don't know anything about me, I'm gonna tell you guys a little bit about me. So before we get into it, you guys get to know something. But I am from Oklahoma, so I'm a big Boomer Sooner guy. Boomer Sooner, you know, that's me. So that's all I got to say. So I grew up in Oklahoma. In high school, I moved to Arkansas, and so I'm not a Texas guy at all. I don't know. I've been living here for about less than a year now. The reason that I came to Dallas, was because my wife, she is from here. She's from Texas. And we just got married about 6 months ago. And so we're 5 months and 10 days now. So this is Kate. And she is my best friend. And it's been really sweet to move to a new state and enjoy a new life with her. And so that's basically the reason that I'm in Texas, the reason that I'm here. The story I want to tell you guys, and just a little bit about my personality, is I'm a big sports guy. I love all sports. I love all competition. Basically, anything with a ball, I'm going to play it. I played baseball my whole life. I played college baseball. But even more than that, I love flag football, basketball, cornhole, putt-putt, anything like that. Anything with a ball or any competition, I'm going to show up and I'm going to be there. So, as I mentioned, I moved to Arkansas in high school, and there's two summers ago, where my brother and I were like, what are we going to do this summer? I don't know what we're going to do. And what we ended up doing was we made a plan to go out and break the putt-putt world record of most holes in one day. And what the current number was, it was about 3 holes per minute is what it was, but we realized that we couldn't do it because the world record, because that was very unlikely to actually do 3 holes for 24 straight hours. So we just went for the state record. So in Arkansas, my brother and I, we hold the state record for most putt-putt holes in one day, and it is 4,829 putt-putt holes. And so we're literally just like here, we hit a putt, and we go over here, get the putt again, and just keep going for like, we were there for a very long time. And we took a breakfast, lunch, and dinner break, and that was it. So that's just something you guys get to know about me and my personality. I love sports, love competition. So you guys are ever down, ever need an extra person to hang out with, I will be there. Heck yeah. One last thing I want to tell you guys is another reason that I'm here is I'm a part of the Watermark Institute. If you guys know Ryan and Grace here at Wake, they're also a part of it. So I'm really good friends with them. And this past year, we've just gotten to learn how to read the Bible, how to love Jesus more, and how to read it correctly, not just from the perspective of our own culture and our own minds, but reading it in a way of like that it was actually written from beginning to end, not just looking at different sections of it and taking it for what we want, but reading the whole Bible and the whole story beginning to end. And so today, we are going to be looking at that with the story and with the series of Better Than. Today we're going to be looking at compassion is better than critique. So last week you guys got to look at obedience is better than disobedience, and this is going to be the last part of the series where compassion is better than critique. And we're going to see that through an example of Jesus. We're going to look at a part of his life in John 4. So if you guys have your Bibles, if you don't, it'll be on the screen so you guys can read along. We're going to be in John 4. Open up to John 4, verses 7 through 18. And I'm going to read it. Here we go. Verse 7. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying that I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said to me is true." Okay, I'm going to pray this word over us this morning. God, I just pray that you'll take this word and just use it and mold us and shape us into the men and women that you've created us to be, that you would teach us more of your spirit and your character. So God, I just pray that in these next few moments that your spirit would lead and guide us to you and to your feet, just that you have offered us a gift of grace to come and dwell with you. So God, we're so thankful for you, so thankful for this word, the example of Jesus that we get to follow. We love you. Amen. Okay, guys, so one thing I want you guys to know is something that I've learned at the Institute and is helpful when we're reading a passage of the Bible is to not just look at it, like I said, not just look at it, the part that we're in, but we have to look at the whole story and see where we are at in that. And so, and within that one story, we're going to get some context, clues, and there's a lot of cultural differences because of the time period that this was written in compared to where we are now reading it in the 21st century compared to where Jesus was about 2,000 years ago. And so there's a lot of differences. And so we're going to give a little bit of context clues, a little bit of background, a little bit of history of, you guys got to hear about Jesus and this woman and their conversation and what they're doing. So I'm going to give a little bit of history of the woman and a little bit of the importance of Jesus and them meeting. And so we'll just start with that. If we look at this passage in John 4, we're at the beginning of it, it says that Jesus is going from Judea to Galilee, okay? And that is, and in a way there, Samaria is a way. I should have a map up here, right here. I'll show you guys. So right here we have Judea. This is where Jesus is traveling from Judea to Galilee. And the normal route that the Jewish people would take to get to Galilee was they would go here and they would go all the way around Samaria. They would avoid Samaria. They would cross the Jordan River, cross this river, cross here again, just to get to Galilee. They'd take a much longer, harder route just to avoid Samaria. And why was that? That is because the Samaritans and the Jews, they hated each other. They did not get along and they thought they would agree on something, but they just did not agree on a lot of things. And so the Jews just did anything they could do to avoid them, okay? And so, if we notice that first, is Jesus is going directly through Samaria as a Jewish man, a Jewish teacher. He's going straight through Samaria where most of those Jewish leaders, they would go directly around because they hated them. That's one point that we get to notice. Another point is about the woman. With the woman, if we look at verse 6, I know we read verses 7 through 18, but the verse 6 right before, it says that she goes out to the well to get her water at the sixth hour. The sixth hour in Jewish time is around noon. And so in this time, the normal way that these, the people of Samaria and the people would get their water was they would go early in the morning because that's when it wasn't as hot, because they would go get their water, their drinking water for the day. If they went early in the morning, the sun wasn't out, and it was just a lot less hot. And so why was this woman, first of all, going by herself, and why was this woman going at noon, where it was the hottest, around the hottest time of the day? And we get to answer that because we can look at these clues. If we look at the history and the context and the culture of this place of Samaria, where Samaria compared to Jews, Jews would see themselves as higher than them. So they're kind of already seen as outcasts. And then this woman, as we read, it said she had five husbands, and the man she was with now was not her husband. And because of this reason, we get to see that she was most likely an outcast of her own town. The people around her probably didn't want to be seen with her, didn't want to be around her, because she lived a sinful, immoral life among the others. And so she's probably just wanting to go later in the day so she's not shamed from the other people. And so this is a reason that she's going later in the day, why she's by herself. And Jesus knows this. Jesus meets her at the well. And that is something that we just get to see whenever we're looking at even the example of compassion and that it's being better than critique. And we're going to look at a few examples of what this even means for you guys in your own life and how we can take this example and how we get to treat those around us and how we get to treat our siblings, our parents, our friends, and even strangers, people that you don't even know. Like a lot of you guys, I don't know most of you guys, and just how we can treat each other with compassion and love and just getting to be friends with each other. And so before I go any further with this, I want to ask you guys a question, okay? I want you guys to think of this question, maybe write it down, or just think of it in your head and keep it. We'll get back to it at the very end. So this question is, this is something that I think of that I'm usually, whenever I read a story, I'm just like, oh, who would I be in the story? And so if you're reading the story, I want you guys to think, if you were to put yourself in this story, would you be, who would you be and why? So would you be the woman of Samaria or would you be Jesus in the way of, you're either the woman where you're kind of alone, you're maybe an outcast, maybe you don't have a ton of friends, maybe you've done something wrong and so people maybe shame you and you just need someone to come up to you and be your friend. Or are you Jesus in the way of where Jesus is pretty good at talking to people. He goes up, he sees people's hurt and he sees their problem and he's pretty good at making new friends. So for you in your life, where would you say that you would put yourself? I'll ask the question one more time. If you put yourself in the story, in the shoes of either Jesus or the woman, who would you be and why? Okay, so that's the question. And then we're gonna go through, we read these 11 verses. I've split it up into three sections, very brief sections. So over the next few minutes, we're just gonna go over these few verses and just analyze what this looks like in this, in the context of the story and the grand scheme of the story, and also of how we get to look at it, compassion being better than critique. And then lastly, we'll get to answer this question. So the first section is gonna be verses 7-10. We're gonna look at the example of compassion and the dialogue of the conversation that Jesus has with this woman. And right here, verse 7, where we started, a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Pretty simple verse. Jesus goes up to her and says, hey, will you give me a drink? And why is this important to note? Why was this something that is written down in history? And this is something that is extremely important to notice that you guys wouldn't probably know just on the basis of reading it for the first time or maybe for the 20th time, is that just as I said before, the Jews and Samaritans hated each other. And especially a Jewish man, Jesus, a rabbi and a teacher, speaking to a woman from the culture of Samaria, this was very unusual for that time, where a man who has this status would not talk to this woman who lived a very immoral and sinful life. And so this is something that we get to see, is Jesus is able to see past any status that the world gives us and just gets to see the person for who they are. And he knows he loves her and that he himself as God created her in his own image. And so that's way, this is one example where we get to even look at with our friends and our family, just the people that I mentioned before, is that we get to see people in the eyes of how Jesus would see people, and that they would see them as someone who's created in God's image, and they have a purpose no matter what they've done, no matter what status they have, no matter what gender they are, that you get to love them because this is what we're called to do as followers and lovers of Jesus Christ. So that's what we see the example of the first section. The next section we're going to go through is verses 11 through 15. And this is where it talks about living water. So if you look at it, Jesus brings up this living water because he uses this in the context and the image of they're at a well, and so it's just water that's around them. So he uses this image to portray a mystery of the gospel, which is his life. And so I'll tell you guys what living water is, and you guys might know what the answer is already. But what Jesus says later is what living water actually is it's just when you become a believer, you get the Holy Spirit inside of you. It comes inside of you, and it's something that is going to eternally satisfy you. It'll quench your thirst forever. And so it's not something that we have to come back every single day like this woman is coming back to get this water every single day to quench her thirst, to survive. And just like in a lot of ways in our own life, we get to see that where we go and seek things out to quench our thirst every single day. So this living water that Jesus is like, hey, I have this living water. I can give it to you. And this woman says, how can I get this living water? She like, how do I get it so I don't have to come up here and get water anymore? So she takes it pretty literally. She's like, how do you get this super powerful water that's real? But Jesus means it in rhetorically and in an image. He sets it up that way. And so if we look at verse 14, Jesus says, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And the woman says, this is in verse 15, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty. And this is where we see a switch in the conversation. This is where we see, she asks, how do I get this water? And Jesus, it kind of looks like he's kind of disregarding the question because he goes, where's your husband? He goes directly, she's like, hey, how can I get this water? And he goes, where's your husband? Like that, if you just read that, that may not make any sense to you. But if we look at the example of what living water actually is, and we said it's the Holy Spirit coming inside of us, something that is going to eternally satisfy us, there's nothing else in this world, no other thing, no other relationship or hobby or anything that you love to do, you think will satisfy you, is going to. And this is something that's a part of my life too, and as I mentioned before, I played baseball a lot of my life. I played college baseball, and I just wanted to continue to get better and continue to go further and further and further, and my dream was to play pro ball one day. And this is something that consumed me every single day. Whether it was good or bad, it still consumed me. It consumed my thoughts and my actions and my schedule every single week. And it is something that I was longing for it to satisfy me, that couldn't live up to what God has offered and is only that can satisfy our bodies and our souls, is Jesus Christ through what he's done for us. And so, and just like that for me being baseball, this is what this was for this woman. Jesus changed the conversation, was like, where's your husband? Because when she asked for the living water, he's helping her see where she has been looking for this living water. And that has been in her relationships. And so she has been continually going from relationship to relationship, seeking after this thing that thinks it might satisfy her, but it actually won't. And so this is something that we want to see, that we want to look at in ourselves, where we look at verses 16 through 18, and what is your water? The question of what do you guys think is something that you are searching after maybe every single day, every single week, where it's just you're constantly thinking about it, you think it's going to make you happier, you think it's going to make you just more lovable. And so I just think that's something, like I said, for me for baseball, what it was for me for baseball for the woman was these relationships. And so what is it for you guys? I want you guys to think about that. Write that down, write that question down, and just think, I want you guys to give that to God, because ultimately, even if we have a desire, it's hard to even give a desire unless God changes our hearts. And that's something that I've struggled with for a long time, is even though I want to try super hard to not love something, I am a sinful man, and I and follow the desires of my flesh. And so until God changes my heart and opens my eyes to see him and changes my desires, that is just where he's going to lead us. And so I want to go back to the question of the woman, back to the question of looking at if you guys would pick, if you were the woman of Samaria, or if you were Jesus in this setting. And I would say, like, for me, when I first read this story, I'm like, okay, I just think I need to follow Jesus. I can put myself in Jesus' shoes and just follow after what he does and love people better because of this. And I'm going to answer the question. It was honestly a trick question, so I'm sorry. But every single one of us in this room is actually the woman of Samaria. And the reason why, and the reason why that is because if we look at the example of compassion and what Jesus did for this woman, that is something that we need every single day from God, from Jesus himself. Where we are outcasts because of our sin, because of the ways that we've lived our lives, because of the way that we are rude to our parents, mean to our friends, or just have bad thoughts or not trusting in the Lord. And it's something that can be really hard, but it's us living a sinful life separates us from God, just like this woman lived this sinful life and it separated her. But Jesus, out of his love and his compassion, and he put away his status, put away all the things that he had that may have put him above her, but he came and sat with her, just like he came and sat with all of you guys. He came and sat with all of us, where he lived a perfect life, and he died a death, and he resurrected and defeated all of sin and all of death for eternity, where we get to have eternal life with him. And so, answer the question, we are the woman of Samaria because we are sinful just like her. And so if we look at the question and just looking at the topic of the series of compassion being better than critique, how can we even follow this example of compassion? And the answer to that question is we can't just will ourselves to be better, to love people, or to be better, to be friends with more people, or just be kind to everyone, unless we first receive and understand that Jesus did that for us first, that Jesus did show us the way of compassion. And so because of that, if we are able to receive what he's done for us, then we are able to go out and be kind and compassionate to others. We get to put them above ourselves, and that's where we get to see, that's where we look at how the woman responded is in John 4, verses 28 and 29. If we look at it on the board, it says, "So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, 'Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?'" This was the woman's response when she received and accepted the love and compassion of Jesus. And so it was just an immediate response. It was natural for her to go and tell other people of how this man saw her. And so I want you guys, I just pray for you guys and pray for your hearts that you guys would know God more and not just seek to leave here and just have another thing on your list or another thing to do is like, oh, I need to go this week and go be more compassionate to people or go be someone's friends and just go reach out to another person, but that you guys would seek Jesus, seek to be with him, and let him change your heart for you. Because God is the most perfect, loving, kind Lord that you will ever, person that you will ever, ever meet. And so put your trust in him, and he will guide you. Allow his spirit to lead you, and he will. Thank you guys for letting me come up here today and talk. I'm really thankful for the opportunity. And before we go, I just would like to close us in prayer. So let's pray. God, I thank you so much for what you have done for us, for how you have loved us, how you have seen us in the midst of our sin, in the midst of the story where we feel so much shame from our sin, God, that we just would live free because of what your son, Jesus, has done, that he came to this earth and lived a perfect life and died a perfect death and rose again and defeated death, and that we get to look at all of that and give that to you. So God, I just pray that as we go throughout this week, as we go back to school, that that would just be the overflow of our hearts, that we would just be led by your spirit and your ways and your love, that we would see that being compassionate to our family and our friends is just the way that you would love, and just being able to bring ourselves down, any pride that we have in our heads of how good we think we might be or the status that we think we might have, that we would just get rid of that, that it means nothing. And the only thing that matters is a relationship with you, God. And so I just pray this over everyone in this room today, that we would just seek to know you better. We love you. We praise you. We seek to honor and we seek to glorify you and you alone. Amen.